Send a movie idea.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pre-warning, there are going to be plenty of horror movie spoilers in the episode ahead. And you're probably thinking, how do you know that? Well, I came back from the future to warn you guys that Joel was dead all along.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to an especially horrifying edition of The Dream Factory, the world's spookiest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken to the next stage where it'll be cremated in the Indian burial ground beneath my home. I'm Joel, a man who puts the lash in slasher movie, and across from me is John Harris, a man who was recently employed as the ghost body double in the Casey Affleck vehicle Ghost Story, but was fired on the first day of filming for repeatedly shouting, "Woo!" at catering staff. Hello, John.
Hello.
How
apparently,
you doing, mate?
Apparently you can't have fun on a film set these days, eh?
And it's not just John with me, as we are joined by our first ever guest. It's Mike Munzer from the Evolution of Horror podcast. Mike, hello.
Hello.
Don't worry, Mike. We will plug the show at the end.
Yeah.
But I reckon we should just get into it and pitch some horror films. What do you reckon?
Let's do it.
John.
Quick caveat. Amongst many other reasons, one of the reasons we got Mike in is because Joel and I are extremely ignorant when it comes to horror films. So I get like apologies in advance.
Well, this is it, right? So we saw that the episode was being released on Halloween. John and I thought, shit, we don't like horror films. They're too scary. Who do we know? Mike.
Evolution of Horror, Mike. Right. What about, and Mike, you're going to have to really help us out with this one.
Go on.
Aileen wants a prequel to Friday the 13th, Thursday the 12th.
Oh, nice.
Is that origin story?
I like it.
24-hour origin story.
What happened? Does everything happen on Friday the 13th and Friday the 13th?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Because, and I don't actually think we need more Friday the 13th movies as well. For anyone who's seen any of them, there's about 13 of them as it is. There's literally... Yeah, there's 13 of them altogether.
How many years does that span? Because how many Friday the 13ths do you get in a year?
This is the thing. You get one movie a year all through the 80s, basically. And they're always set in the summer. And you think Friday the 13th doesn't always fall in like July every single year,
but
it coincidentally does in those movies. Terrible movies, to be honest.
What is the chance? Does every single year have a Friday the 13th?
I think so, yeah. I think it does, yeah.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And do all the horror films fight for it?
Yeah. Oh, it's a bit... It's that and Halloween, they're like the two
they're the release times. Yeah.
Everyone's after, definitely. Yeah,
it's quite fascinating, really.
Yeah.
So, Friday the 13th, what's our big bad? Who are we...
So, for most of the movies, it's Jason Voorhees, the guy in the hockey mask with the machete who just basically slices up teenagers.
And, correct me if I'm wrong, but... They've jumped the shark with this one. He's literally gone to space, right?
He's gone to space. He's been cryogenically frozen. He's gone up against Freddy Krueger. He's done everything.
Who did he kill in space?
Who didn't he kill in space? I tell you, there's an amazing bit when there's these girls camping and he picks,
in space.
Yeah, I don't know. They're camping. They're in sleeping bags out in the woods in space, on another planet or on a moon or something. He like zips them up so that they're trapped in a sleeping bag, picks them up, swings them around, and kind of bashes them against a tree.
That's quite a good kill, though.
That's Jason X in space. So there you go. Good films.
Hang on. So Mike Myers isn't.
Mike Myers is Halloween.
Oh, my word.
They're basically the same. They're the same thing. Halloween came first, and Friday the 13th ripped it off and thought, we'll do something the same as Halloween. Let's pick another night of the year that's spooky. And they did Friday the 13th.
So,
I need to talk about Mike Myers quickly.
Go on.
Right. He falls into the same category as me not knowing there were two Steve McQueens.
Were you really confused that a lot of people found Mike Myers terrifying?
Yeah, well, I thought, I didn't know. I mean, I would have been quite young when I first became aware of both characters, and I thought that in Halloween he wore an Austin Powers mask. And that was like.
That might be scarier, actually, yeah. To be fair, with the teeth and everything.
Groovy baby.
Pretty weird.
What about a horror film where. With Mike Austin Myers. Powers.
Nice. Maybe that's Thursday the 12th. I don't know.
Because yeah. That's the only thing. Thursday the 12th, literally nothing will happen. It'll just be a normal town, right?
Yeah. Just everyone's happily just going about their business.
Maybe it's a film where there's constantly like tension building up and people walking over to doors like really slowly. It's just nothing. Or like.
Yeah. Somebody just walks over in a hockey mask, but it's just a hockey player. Just, you know, legitimately wearing a hockey mask or something.
So it's Thursday the 12th for Eileen is just a collection of fake scares where they build up to a big scare and nothing happens.
Yeah. It's the calm before the storm. Yeah.
All right. What about this one I really like from Rosie? The Blair Witch Projector.
Oh, nice. I thought it was going to be the Tony Blair Witch Project.
Which is a film.
Is it?
It's a film. Yeah.
Is it?
All right. The Lionel Blair Witch Project.
Oh, very nice.
The Lionel
tap
Blair
dancing version on stage.
The yes. Lionel Blair Witch Projector.
The Lionel Blair Witch Projector. Nice.
So yeah, so what we're actually talking about is the Blair Witch Projector.
Yes. Hmm.
Has everyone seen it?
Yeah.
There's quite a scary projection scene.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So I went to see it, despite not liking horror films. Girlfriend really likes horror films, so occasionally, you know, talk about
along.
Give or take, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. How was it for you?
About compromise. What's really embarrassing about this is that so Kermode and Mayer, right? Mike Kermode. You know that Mike Kermode guy?
he's always
reviewing the film. Mark Kermode says it's a knockabout bit of fun. That's basically because he's a horror aficionado,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like, it's just a knockabout bit of fun. It's just kids getting into scrapes. And yeah. I was like, Emma, let's go watch it because you love horror films. And you know what? I'm going to be the good boyfriend. I'm going to take it on the chin. I'm going to watch this horror film. I'm thinking, I'm just going to have a lovely time.
Yeah.
I found it really scary.
It is quite scary.
There was some, like, and the projector scene. And yeah. Apparently it's in the trailer, but I hadn't seen the trailer.
Yeah.
I found it actually quite horrifying.
Yeah.
So would a group of youngsters head into the forest and then would they see a projector in the middle of the forest at night?
I've got it, mate.
Go on.
There was that advert for Tinder.
Go
yeah.
on.
Yeah, we're all with you. We're all
it was
with
one
you.
Of the cinemas, and the whole thing was like, Tinder's not just for single people. You can meet mates on there as well. Which,
what?
I mean, yeah,
what?
This is a thing.
That's not a thing.
Yeah, Tinder, you can be like, I'm with four pals. Are you with four pals? Let's not definitely have an orgy. Let's hang out together.
So if you were in a relationship, you could legitimately download Tinder for a mate.
Look,
bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Oh yeah, I'm just
looking for friends.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not saying I'd do it. I'm just saying there was an advert for it.
Uh-huh.
Right, and they all met up in the woods and set up a mini cinema in the woods and hung a sheet from these two trees. So this is what happens. There is maybe like some sort of killer cult.
Nice.
That meet pals on Tinder. Take them to the woods and then they project, and what they project is actually like what's about to happen to the people.
Yeah. Oh. They're deaf. Yeah? Is that
sounds better than, you know, a few of the other actual Blair Witch Project movies. That's good.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
That's a official review from Mike from Revolution Horror.
That's good. That's a commission. I'm in.
Okay, I've got one.
Yes.
This is from Mark. It's The Cabin in the Woods.
Oh.
But the cabin is the shack from the B-52 song Love Shack.
Oh. Brilliant. My two favourite things combined. Love it.
Right. I've got a pretty encyclopedic knowledge of the lyrics of that song.
Yeah.
Owing to working a wedding venue for five years.
You see a painted sign at the side of the road that says 15 miles to the...
Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah,
cabin
exactly.
In the Woods. They've got them a car. It's as big as a whale. I don't know if you heard about this. Yeah.
They isn't got it a about fucking, to set sail?
It's going to set sail. It's a big car, right? That can't be road legal.
Yeah.
But I don't know much about The Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
So enlighten me.
The Cabin in the Woods is like, starts off like a spooky film where a bunch of kids go to a cabin in the woods,
mm-hmm.
and it feels like nothing out of the ordinary is going on. Then they discover that there are monsters that live underneath it, and there are thousands of monsters. It's like, there's this whole kind of lab. It's like a sci-fi film, basically, and they go down a glass elevator underground, and inside is like all these different tombs with all different types of horror movie bad guys underneath them.
Interesting. Did any of them remember to bring their jukebox money?
Do you know what? They didn't. They missed a trick.
They go into the cabin. All there is a jukebox. Yeah. They put some money in. That soundtracks the whole film.
And it's like Shuffle for horror movie killers. So there you go. Glass box pops out. Yeah.
That's a bit of fun.
It works.
And then what else happens in either of these things? I'm so ignorant of both. Help me out. Help me out.
You must know Cabin in the Woods, mate.
I've watched three horror films. I've got them written here.
Cabin in the Woods is really good. I'd recommend it. Like, it's not scary. It's kind of a spoof.
Yeah, but that's what they say. That's what people that like horror films
it's
say.
It's genuinely a comedy.
Meta, so it's not scary. Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Psycho, Shining, The Orphanage. Oh. My three films.
They're legitimately scary, all those three.
Yeah, but... Psycho's, you know...
Psycho's old.
Psycho's
black and white, isn't it?
Scary,
so it can't be scary.
Man dressed as a woman, come on.
What about this one from Millie? This is based on a real life experience, probably the scariest thing that any one of us could experience. Rail Replacement Service, the movie.
Oh, God.
They did one on a tube, I believe, a while back.
Yeah, Creep. Set in Charing Cross Tube Station.
So doing one on a rail replacement bus would be easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what happens, right? That's a question.
I was waiting. I was like,
Sorry, Joel doesn't know how to tone his sentences.
I don't know how to ask
questions.
I've only recently learned to speak. I'm really getting to grips with language. English isn't my first language. That's about sixth on the list.
Rail replacement bus. Well, it could be a good, you know, claustrophobic horror movie all set inside a bus that's moving at 50 miles per hour. I'm pitching speed.
No, I was thinking speed,
but,
yeah.
But, you know, somebody on the bus is evil.
Nice, nice. So I reckon it's a couple heading out of town for the weekend.
Yeah.
They're going through somewhere like Kent or Sussex. They're going through the hills.
Yeah.
There's tiny little train stations, you know, like the ones you pass that you never get off of, and no one really gets on or off at. Train terminates there. Mm-hmm. There's a rail replacement service. No one else on the train. Mm-hmm. No one else on the bus.
Yeah.
They get on the bus and, you know, terror in shoes.
Nice.
The driver's obviously some sort of creep, but maybe he isn't all along, and maybe it's one of the couple.
Yeah.
Is that the big twist?
So
the big twist is that one of the two of the couple organised for a rail replacement service to happen, got a bus driver involved.
They, the day before, you've obviously forgot about this. the day before.
Friday, Thursday the 12th.
The day before, he went. The guy from the couple went down and put a load of leaves on the line.
This'll do it.
Yep.
That'll do it.
Okay. I think I'm on board. What Mike?
You're
what,
on board. Yeah. I like it.
Hey.
Yeah.
Of what, like, percentage of the horror films? Is the big twist at the end kind of a horror trope, would you say?
Not that often. Only if it's, you know, M. Night Shyamalan or something.
Mm.
Sometimes some of them, a lot of them are like kind of whodunit, I suppose. Who's the killer, who's the murderer, who's the one wearing the mask, and there's a kind of reveal twist at the end.
Oh yeah,
that's
Scooby-Doo.
About as clever as most horror movies get.
I've got one that's a spin on one of I've seen this as well, one of the recent great horror films.
Yeah,
this is The Babadook.
Oh, what a film.
But imagine The Babadook featuring Green Day. So it's Babadooky.
Very good. Very good.
I haven't got much more beyond that. Which is basically how this show works.
Yeah.
So Elliot sent this in, Babadooky, and he's just said, the Babadook is back and he's haunting Green Day.
Yeah.
What's the MacGuffin? What's the concept of Babadook for those who don't know, including me?
I think the Babadook is like a manifestation of maybe like depression or ill feeling or like that sort
deep.
Of thing.
Yeah.
It's a scary book, right?
Yeah, it's essentially like a monster movie, But like you said, it's more of a metaphor, I suppose.
There is a bit in The Babadook. They're in like a police station or something, and she looks to the wall, and there's like a hat and a coat in the shape of sort of the Babadook.
Yeah.
And for a split second, it is the Babadook. Shit me up, guys.
Yeah, it's scary.
Stuff like that. I will think about that in the shower. So
yeah.
Anyone else do this, John? You get very scared easily. I imagine Mike. This is probably like this is like. Mike probably listens to the music from Psycho in the shower and loves it. But I will think, oh no, shampoo's in my hair. I've got to close my eyes now to wash the shampoo out.
Oh.
When I open them, someone's going to be there.
Yeah, you know, there's that.
You're on a real level, mate.
I do. I do always think about that. Have you seen, it's like a classic trope where someone will be in a bathroom, they'll be standing at the sink in front of the mirror, they'll lean down to the sink, the camera will follow them down, and then they'll come back up.
Someone in the mirror.
Someone will be behind them. Or they'll open the cupboard door and then shut it and then someone will be behind. I do often think that when I'm stood brushing my teeth. I think,
see, I'm
right,
not alone.
What's going to happen? Yeah.
When do you get scared?
In a horror film, do you think they've ever not used a mirror as a way to have someone
appear? No, absolutely not. If there is a mirror, it will be used, definitely.
Still, to this day, never said Candyman 3 times in front of a mirror. Honestly, I haven't.
I mean, it's 5 times, but, you know.
So is it?
You'd be fine with 3.
Yeah, I'm that scared. I don't even want, like, half of a Candyman to appear. Is it 5 times?
It's 5, yeah, yeah.
Bloody hell.
Afterwards, we'll all go to the bathroom.
Yeah, let's do it.
And after that, we'll talk. We'll do the Candyman thing. Right. What about, I know that lots of, like, musicians, you know, do that whole thing about how horribly lonely and, like, depressing being on tour could be.
Yeah. Yep.
Could it be they're on tour and that's Babadook's manifesting itself in that?
It's like the weight of the stress of tour.
Nice.
Manifests.
And there's some great jump scares to be had in a gig. He's playing and then it all goes silent from the actual rock music. You look out into the crowd, your Babadook's somewhere.
Babadook
in
is
the
just
audience.
There moshing in the crowd.
Yeah. He's loving it.
Is that Slash?
Wake me up when September ends. At the end of Babadook, do they defeat the creature?
No, they learn to keep it at bay, basically. It's
hence extending that metaphor, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't get rid of it, but you know how to deal with it and treat it, basically. And they keep it in the basement and feed it, essentially. So that's what Green Day will have to do with Babadooki. Take it on tour.
It's their support
it
act.
At bay. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Embrace it.
And that's how they came up with the album.
There you go.
Shall I give you 2 titles and then we'll decide which one we talk about? Because they're good titles.
Yeah, cool.
All right. So from Lucas, we've got Rosemary Baby. So instead,
nice.
So instead of Rosemary's Baby. Have you got Rosemary Baby?
I've got Rosemary and Times Baby.
Okay. And from Steph, I like this one, Dracula La Land.
Oh, that's great.
That's a hit.
Horror musicals.
That is a hit.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dracula La Land?
That's a
winner.
That's a certified
hit. They kind
hit.
Of do, don't they, at the end of Forgetting Sarah Marshall, a vampire Muppets musical. But that's fine. We can forget.
Yeah, but that was never fully fleshed out.
Yeah. Dracula comes to LA to make it as an actor or a star. Perfect.
Oh, okay. So, so we're not doing a musical version of Dracula. We're doing a version of La La Land with Dracula as the lead.
I've got the opening gag. Right?
Go on.
He lands in LA. He was like, I was going to try it in New York, but they told me it was the city that never sleeps.
Oh, yes.
Come on.
Because movie sets, let's say, like, old-fashioned movie sets are indoors, so he'll be fine. He's not going to burn.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's going to... Isn't it meant to be, like, the sunniest city in the world, basically?
Yeah, but what you haven't considered is that they're after him, so where's the last place they're going to look?
In LA. Yeah, absolutely.
Van Helsing's like, he's not going to show up in LA.
So, actually, he is the Emma Stone character.
Yep, he is.
And he falls in love, Dracula, with a... handsome
jazz musician played by Ryan Gosling.
I like it. Yeah, and because jazz, smoky, dark nightclubs, all vampire friendly stuff. Yeah. Red wine, probably. That feels quite. Do vampires drink red wine? It's like the closest thing to blood, isn't it?
It's usually blood in a wine glass that everyone thinks is red wine.
So we can definitely have that. Yeah. Falls in love with Ryan Gosling. How does it end?
How does La La Land end? Oh, kind it's of, actually quite heartbreaking, isn't it?
Well, it in ends with them both. Doing, but it's the whole like thing of La La Land is correct me if I'm wrong, that for them to achieve what they wanted creatively, they had to split.
Yeah, they have to choose love or their career, and they choose their career.
Yeah, that's
a bit bleak.
Yeah,
really,
it's quite bleak.
It?
Yeah,
it's a fun play on the, you know, because a rom-com would always go with love is more important than anything, and they've gone, no, you know what, creative pursuits.
And then, and then there's that like 5-minute montage where they see how their lives would have been.
Yeah,
and that's I found that. And utterly heartbreaking when I watched that.
If you've seen the director Damien Chazelle's other film Whiplash, it's essentially like, do everything you can to be a good artist, even if you suffer.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's just the way Damien Chazelle feels, basically. that's the kind of the.
That's so true.
That's just the message.
Yeah,
of both
give up
his
on everything.
Movies. Yeah,
we go with the traditional rom-com ending. Dracula and Ryan Gosling get together. They give up both their careers and just become full-time lovers.
No, but at the end, it's enclosing on a heart.
Yeah,
as they're embracing, Dracula. wink at camera, bites the neck.
That's a good ending.
That'd be such. You've spent so long investing in these two characters. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You love.
Yeah, you almost forgot that this was even a vampire movie by this point into it. Yeah, brilliant.
Dracula La Land.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Are we going to try these Rosemary's Babies, or are we going to go for our own two suggestions?
I think we should pitch our own two. And Mike, you're going to decide. Victor, essentially.
Right.
You decide of all of the pitches, yeah, but at the end, John and I pitch one of our own.
Okay.
So, John, I'll let you go first because I'm so proud of mine.
I actually had two. So I just really quickly want to... You know Simon Cowell's music label is called Psycho.
That's like the most hilarious. Because it's just like, I am. Like, you know, I'm a psycho. I'm definitely Patrick Bateman's what he's saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Imagine if you'd put that into a film script, they would go, this is too on the... Yeah, this is so on
that's
the
so
nose.
True. Yeah.
So that was my first thought. But I went for this one. Danny Boyle, Zombie... In inverted commas, I know people get upset when you call films that aren't zombie films, zombie films. Zombie film starring the other guy from Saved by the Bell. 20 A.C. Slaters.
Oh, very good.
So
very, very good.
Right.
So how have we gone from 1 to 20 A.C. Slaters? There's also like a cloning movie, right?
Yeah. So in the process of cloning A.C. Slater...
Zombies happen.
So they clearly didn't perfect the cloning process, and the clones of A.C. Slater.
Oh, so it's like there are 19 like feral A.C. Slaters.
Exactly. Oh. And you've got the normal one.
But who is the normal one?
See, what I was thinking is we're post-apocalypse. But the only DNA they have left is A.C. Slater, so they repopulate the earth just with A.C. Slater.
He is the finest specimen of a man.
He is, exactly.
Possibly.
Yeah, yeah.
At least it wasn't Screech, you know? So.
Screech sounds like a crap version of Scream as well, doesn't it? Like a really
great pitch. Yeah, yeah.
Screech.
Oh yeah, and then he takes off the mask at the end.
Put the mask back on.
All right. So 20 A.C. Slaters. Yeah, we've got
20 A.C. Slaters. Screech. I want to go through all the Saved by the Bell characters.
Yeah, turn them into horror films. Yeah, 19 of them are feral, as Mike says. One of them is not, and they're really fucking feral, and they're like mowing people down. So mm-hmm. They've taken out London in a week. They're really, honestly.
So in order to kill A.C. Slater, you must think like A.C. Slater's the thing, right? So he's what, recruited by someone to take down his 19 counterparts?
Yeah, that's nice. He's in like L.A. or somewhere where he lives, and he doesn't know any of this is happening. He just looks at the news and he sees like 19 feral versions of him.
Police knocking at his door. We've got some questions to ask you, matey.
Yeah, that's it. And obviously, that's a lovely like thing that happens in films, isn't it? Where they've arrested him, they're questioning him. And
yep.
you don't understand. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And so they lock him up And it's only, what is it, like 15 minutes from the end, they realise that the key to this is to let Norman Wesley Slater out. And I don't know whether it's like a case of like when Scarlett Johansson calms down the Hulk, or whether he just kills them. I'm not sure whether he calms them down.
No, I think he rambos them.
I think, I think he's got to literally slaughter them all. Yeah, yeah.
What we're saying is they just like arm him to the hilt. Is that the word?
Yeah, to the nines, to the teeth.
Yeah, I see it as being like a real like hardcore gory horror movie, like Evil Dead style. He is like slicing his way through other AC Slaters.
And there's a funny bit where he starts shooting at a mirror. And then in the mirror, and in the mirror, he's behind him.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Brilliant. He could do a thing where he stood in front of the mirror and then he like just sort of edges to the side and then there's another one of him just behind him, a double. Nice.
And you don't quite see it because he tries to move with him.
Yes, exactly.
Stay hidden in the shadow. I think that's a hit. I think that's, try and beat that, Joel.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
But get ready for this, mate. And pardon the accent. Here's a film about a Geordie vampire. Nosferatu'n.
Okay.
Nosferatu'n.
Toon.
Are we hearing that, guys?
Nosferatu'n.
Toon.
Yeah.
Like as in
Newcastle.
Oh, right.
It's a Geordie vampire. I thought you'd be rolling in the aisles now.
It was a thinker. Okay, Nosferatu'n. I got it.
Nosferatu'n, the Geordie vampire. There's a famous fog on the Tyne.
Yeah.
So he's got somewhere to hide out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about it.
I mean...
It's a good pun. It's a serviceable pun.
It's a fine pun, Joe. It's a fine pun. The thing is, my head immediately goes to What We Do in the Shadows. So it would just be a Newcastle version of What We Do in the Shadows. Like a scouse? Oh, racist.
Geordie,
thank you. Yeah. Geordie vampire trying to live his normal Geordie life would be fun.
Yeah, but he's just, killing members of the public?
Yeah.
All right.
He's a vampire.
Yeah.
Also, being human, it's a lovely example of trying to use those kind of like monster characters in a mundane UK setting.
Maybe like the cast of Geordie Shore can in some way be involved.
Excellent.
They would make a lot of horror films have cameos. You know, I think that would work.
Particularly in there was a real. I'm about to try and talk about the history of film in front of Mike. Joss, so this is going to go. This can only go terribly.
I'm listening.
But like there was this period like 10 years ago, maybe even a bit longer, where they would get like, let's say, chesty B celebrities to kind of die in horror films.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you could definitely do that with the cast of Geordie Shore.
I like the word chesty. That's good. That's good. I see what you've done there. Yeah, there was an era in sort of the late 90s when everyone in horror films was from Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Dawson's Creek or something like that, basically. And yeah, they'd throw in a cameo from someone from Baywatch just to die, basically.
Whereas we've got Geordie Shore and Gazza.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Ant and Dec?
I think Gazza's Van Helsing. Ant and Dec. This is it. Ant and Dec are vampires and Paul Gascoigne's Van Helsing. That is the greatest elevator movie. Film pitch.
This is made by ITV2, this movie.
Wait, what are Ant and Dec?
Vampires.
Oh, they just have vampires.
No, they are... They're the Nosferatu'n, but it's two.
Oh.
I don't think you've seen this written down. But
actually, it's got a number two.
Yeah, that's a sequel. That's a sequel, guys. They're not going to commission one of these films.
It's the most complicated title ever. Like six puns in it. I was
the
thinking
Nos is actually also referring to that gas that powers cars.
There's so many layers. I was thinking Nosferatu'n as in Toon, like a cartoon as well, like Roger Rabbit.
It's also an animation, I should have said.
Yeah, there's an animated sequence.
You see the poster online, it's got a little plus, like click to expand to explain the title.
All the different puns. Amazing.
Well, there we are.
Amazing.
Joel really pulled it out of the bag there because we were very underwhelmed at first, but you've managed to really do that. Mike politely said it was a thinker, but it absolutely wasn't.
It was a thinker. I think I just felt dumb for not getting the pun.
I was actually flattered you'd call it a thinker. I'd put no thought into it whatsoever.
Very good.
Well, that kind of brings us to the end. So, Mike, I guess it's up to you really to pick your favourite of the pitches you heard today.
Okay, so
imagine
out of
if he picks Rosemary Baby after all.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, I'll go for the one I haven't heard. Now let me just remind me of some of the others that we had. So we had Rail Replacement Bus.
Yeah, the Blair Witch Projector. That's Dracula La La Land.
Babadookie.
Babadookie.
Thursday the 12th, which didn't really go anywhere.
But Cabin in the Woods, but it's the Love Shack.
Did enjoy that one.
Mm. Cabin in the Love Shack. The Love Shack in the Woods, rather. That's good. That's very good.
Well, obviously, there's Nosferatu as well. I mean, you have to pick that.
Nosferatu, very good. 20 AC Slaters. The problem with 20 AC Slaters is, I think...
Nothing.
It's too dated. You're not going to... 18-year-olds aren't going to know who that is. Problem with Nosferatu is that the title is too much of a thinker. I think the one that screams out, if I was a person sort of commissioning, I'd hear the title and go, yes, is Dracula La Land. I think that's the simple winner. You get it straight away.
Who sent that in?
Steph.
Steph, thank you so
much.
That
is a winner. I mean, that could genuinely be a musical.
So thank you very much, Mike, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I mean, you're not here to spend time with us. Obviously, couldn't think of anything worse to do. You're actually here to plug your podcast. So tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, thanks. Well, it's not as much fun as this, actually. It's quite nerdy, to be honest. So, but it's
oh,
it's
I imagine being on a nerdy podcast.
It's a nerdy horror film podcast. As you mentioned, it kind of explores the history of horror movies, basically. And because I couldn't find anyone originally who wanted to do it with me every week, I've managed to like rope in other people. So I'm with a different guest or critic every week, basically, and we sort of choose different horror movies to talk about. So a couple of weeks ago, we did Halloween. Really stupidly, actually, I didn't really think about the scheduling. On Friday the 13th of October, the Halloween episode came out, and as we're recording this, we're about to get Halloween, as in the calendar, and Friday the 13th episode is going out. So I got them the wrong way around.
You're a maverick.
But anyway, I'm a maverick. I'm confusing myself with that.
Christmas
anyway,
special in March?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we cover everything. Every sort of old horror movie, 80s slasher movies, recent ones, everything. So yeah, it's good fun if you like horror. Not one for you guys.
Big guests as well.
Yeah.
He
said roped in people like it was...
I don't know how I managed it.
It's a who's who of anyone in like kind of UK criticism and stuff about particularly like horror films. If you care about horror films, you'll know who Kim Newman is, and he's in the first episode.
Amazing. Yeah, absolutely. Kim Newman, Chris Hewitt from the Empire podcast, Boyd Hilton from Heat, Rihanna Dillon, lots of people, so it's really, really cool, actually. My ultimate goal is to rope Mark Kermode in, which I hope to do one day.
John, we've got to wrap up now, and the only reason we know that is that our studio booking has come to an end, so there's a... at the door, and it's only bloody...
As far as I can tell, thank goodness that there are two doors here. I think it's AC Slater, but could it be Feral AC Slater? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, or 19? Only time will tell.
It's all right, we're saved by the bell.
That should have been how the film ended! AC Slater gets a bell, rings it, and they die.
Also, who the fuck's called AC?
Have you ever followed a man or woman down a corridor with multiple doors?
Yep.
And then... they keep opening doors for you.
Yeah.
How many doors is it? At which point do you have to stop making noises?
I normally overtake them and open and open the next door and like, my turn.
Yeah. Because the thing is, I noticed it the other day. So you go, thanks, or cheers. First one, cheers, mate, thanks. And then once you've done those two, you're out of gratitude noises.
Yeah. So how long are these corridors you're walking down?
No.
This isn't the real issue here. What corridors are you walking down?
You're telling me you've never been down a corridor with more than two doors?
Not since school.
It happens to me quite a bit. And then
where?
At work.
What do you work on, a train?
If someone pushed the button to open a door on a train, you don't have to thank them.
What do you work on? An old train?
Imagine you'd be seen as a pervert if someone pushed the button to open the door and you went out of your way to thank the person who pushed the button. Thank you so much.
Oh, I just don't know where these long corridors are. Hospital, maybe? You're not a ticket inspector or a hospital porter, so I don't understand where you're experiencing long corridors.
I work in a hardware shop or a home store. I just work in the door.
Just work in the door department.
Imagine if the door department of shops was just a shit ton of doors. Oh, I'm really having fun today, John.
I'm having a great time. I would like people listening to this to let me know kind of roughly how often they're faced with a corridor with upwards of two doors. And photos would be great as well.
Photos?
Yeah, I want a photo from you first. So that'll be on the Twitter after this episode's out, of you and the many-doored corridor. And then I would like people to send in... There's a competition running now, actually. And whoever can find the corridor with the most doors will win a Dream Factory mug.
Okay.
There you go. A bit of actual merch. And that's a guarantee.
Because I'm a really great T's and C's guy. Mm-hmm. We need some real T's and C's in here. We need a finish date.
Yep.
And we also need to... can they just Google corridor? Like, they literally go, in India, there's a place, there's a hall with 74 doors in this corridor. Or do they have to be there?
Someone has to take a photo of them.
Okay.
In the corridor. Or a selfie, if you haven't got any mates, so which I imagine is what yours will be. And the deadline is we will be announcing it on the 21st of November.
Okay.
So you've got roughly a month, 3 weeks, to find the corridor with the most doors in.
I think, honestly, as much as I just did that whole thing earlier about my social awkwardness with doors and more, I think you'll struggle to find more than four. So if you know a place with four doors, Dream Factory mug in it, yeah, for you.
God, you lucky devils.
While we're here, I think, because we're going to go comp crazy, let's do a best film suggestion in an iTunes review. Probably 5 stars, I'd say. Actually, any other...
I don't think... You can't actually click
void.
The others.
The entry is void if it's anything other than five. Best film suggestion, and for that you will get just some gratitude.
Yeah, a lot of love on the show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.